Anyway, welcome to Office Hours. We're actually recording it this time, so there'll be a video record of this. I think I need to, like, stretch Discord, because I got rid of, like, my Discords on the side, because I don't, you know, you see the Discord servers I'm in. We're going to go ahead and get started with questions. So we're starting on the question feed. We'll go over to the tech tree at some point, so I'm going to scroll up. We had a little bit of conversation about HTTP diagnostics. I use Yak because Postman went downhill, but Glitch and Baplar uses Bruno. And Bruno's got a cute dog logo, so probably going to be going over to Bruno at some point. But let's go ahead for naming. Yoshi's Wing. Okay, so the dog owns very many toys, but they like fluffy toys. Like, they like toys that have fluff. And so I bought them a long time ago. I bought them a yellow duck. I went back to the store, and it turns out that there's a series of ducks. There's a yellow duck, a pink duck, orange duck, and a blue duck. And so what we're dealing with currently is pink duck. But last night, they decided to pull open pink duck's stomach and start spreading the stuffing all around my living room. So they're kind of angry right now because I've had to take pink duck off of them. And they instead now need, the yellow duck's around. I actually don't know where it is, but they'll find it at some point. And I might buy them like a blue duck. I've got my sewing kit out, and I can repair pink duck, but this will be the second time I've repaired pink duck in a week. And so I don't know if pink duck is just going to be too fragile to continue. Once a toy is too fragile to continue, I repair it one more time and I put it on a shelf in my apartment, and it's like the graveyard of feta toys. Currently hamsters there, and there's also one of the teddies that he's pulled all of the stuffing out. So it's basically like an empty shell of a teddy. yeah, crazy dog. All right, scrolling along. Feta's having an amazing day. They're just hey guys, I want to bark at the door. Zervex says, as requested in the GitHub issue, what's the opinion of the revamped main page? Can we showcase it? Yes, this is also our recording. So we're going to go ahead and load that up. And then I've got I can see why people have separate computers for their streaming empire, right? Because every single time I'm okay, well, I can't use display capture or it's going to make a mess. I've got to use Windows. All right. I guess I should probably share this as well, to here. There we go. So this is the new main page that Zerovex has been working on for quite a long time. And then I accidentally ignored it for a long time. But now I'm back. And so what they've done is they've sort of made it more friendly to navigate as a main page. For anyone who's oh, I miss all the links and stuff like that, go look at Wikipedia's main page. Go look at the RuneScape Wiki's main page. Go look at the Path of Exile's main page. Main pages should be jumping off points. They're a bit like a desktop wallpaper. You don't really need to go there unless you lost. I know that there's some commentary that we need to look into about how some of these links work, because apparently they're using non-standard wiki links or something like that. Oh, that's right. I can't remember who designed it. Zerovex did the coding and implementation. Someone else did the design. I think it was Hem. If you get the name, go for it. Hemi Sputnik. Yes, Hemi Sputnik. They also do a lot of other really good wiki work. As do, so shout out of the week to wiki people. Actually, in fact, we can just go to, we go up here, we can get to recent changes. All of these people, once it loads, hell yeah, 98 Oran, Goldie Raccoonie, Electro, Hecko, there's Hemi Sputnik, a lizard. I saw a humongous conversation from a lizard yesterday, so hey, hell yeah, just keep going. I love it. It's great. I need to go back to the actual special meme. There we go. See, I like it. I need to look into some of the technical items, and I need to look into how this works. Not because I need to make sure it works exactly how I want it to work, but just because I need to double check that you've done stuff in the easy way. If there's anything I can do to make it easier, I'll make it easier for you guys, basically. So there we go. What I want to do, though, is I want to sort of call attention to this for the larger community. Because there is a point, some point in the future, where we just go, screw it. And this becomes the actual new main page. So we need eyes on it, right? Right now, probably not. But I don't have much more time to make this not the main page. So keep the feedback coming in. There is a GitHub issue for it, which I'm sure Zervex can link in the chat for us. And we can go ahead and move on to other questions. And again, once again, keep in mind that the main page isn't meant to be like a like encyclopedia page. Compare the main page of Wikipedia with like the page on, I don't know, Australia or something, and you'll see the difference. I'll be doing like a full cut down video of that on my main channel about this, and like, hey, maybe I'll edit one of this down to sort of cover that. We'll go back to questions. All right, so scrolling around, we had dog question. All right, here we go. Quali says, judging you, eat anything good lately? No, seeing as I woke up like 5 minutes before office hours, but there you go. Trader Joe's. Anyone knows Trader Joe's? Trader Joe's do like a lot of wonderful things. One of the things they do is like noodle bowls, right? They're pre-cooked, like you just shove in the microwave for like a minute. And they do a peanut satay one, and I've always got like five or six of those in the cupboard. I don't remember what else I ate last night. I know that I ate those noodles because the container is on my desk. I probably will do grocery shopping today because I'm out of like everything. Unfortunately, the last two apples that I have gone off. Like, they're still technically edible, but at a certain point, apples turn, like, the consistency of the inside of the apple turns weird, and I can, like, detect that. Bapalar moves on to say, how long do you think a person can stay in a reasonably good state without sleep? I used to be able to, like, have, like, extreme, like, really extreme. I used to do, like, in some cases, particularly for university, I did, like, 20 hours straight. That was for, like, I forgot I need to do an essay for university or I'm going to fail. I remember specifically it was Monster Energy Rehab. That is the non-carbonated lemonade kind of looking one. That plus caffeine pills plus like generic bag of cookies, not like Chips Ahoy or something, like more like bakery or deli style cookies. And that's all I ate for like 20 hours. And I did like an entire project. I handed it in. And then people didn't see me for 20 hours. And they actually, like, they knocked on my door, not to check that I was, like, okay or anything, literally just to see if I was alive. Because I spent 20 hours inside my room just asleep. What they didn't know at the time is that I had taken a jar of peanut butter and a loaf of bread into my bedroom with me. It was like, I am moving. So I would just, like, periodically wake up, like, smear some peanut butter on some bread, eat it, and then go back to sleep. I do recommend nowadays that you do keep sleep going. I'm not going to tell you to get 8 hours. I am going to tell you to get at least six. The convention phrase is actually really good. So there's a convention phrase called like the 6-2-1 rule, which says like 6 hours of sleep, two meals, and one shower per day, you'll be fine. The 6-2-1 rule. Winky. You keep that one. Zervix says, what's your opinion of an unofficial bot? So one of the problems with like the bot is that I don't know if we would use it personally. I'm sure like users would, but I don't know if we'd use it personally. Internally at YDMS, we're actually trying to move off of Discord. It's taken a long time because of the things we need to do to make it sort of compliant with what we need policy-wise. But we're going to be heading over to Mattermost. The reason behind that is because we have, as Yellow Dogman Studios, we have no business relationship with Discord, and Discord does not supply business relation. And what that means is that the data that we transact through Discord has an unknown data residency thing. And so we can't put PII and we can't really put business data in. And yeah, it'll only be for internal. We'll stay on Discord for like this Discord won't go anywhere. It's just for like internal. We also will probably be like TBD at working out for internal, using it for moderation as well, which will enable us to speak better about moderation. Moderation is actually one of the strongest, problem's the wrong word, but like issue that we have privacy wise is that for every moderation ticket, a Discord channel is made for sort of discussion and collaboration and sort of, you know, figuring out what we need to do to it. But we can never actually talk about the reported person or the person who wrote the ticket, because that's privacy data that cannot go inside Discord. So we use abbreviations and things like that. And if we're on Mattermost, yeah, only internal. Mattermost is a bunch of tooling that is very similar to like Discord's tooling, but we're already facing a sort of like, hey, all the tooling that we've, I've been saying tooling really weird, like tooling. All of that tooling that we have needs to be adjusted for Mattermost. And so like, I don't know if we want to add any additional tooling to that at this point. But a bot for the community sounds cool, so keep at it. Moving forward to their second item, the unofficial translation interface. Yeah, I've wanted to shove up a weblate for like years, and every time I sort of like, you know, I could do that, there's always something else on the pile, so I don't know. if it's working out and people are translating with it, fantastic. Eventually, we'll probably host our own, but until then, cool. As for the unofficial forum, I can be honest, I haven't looked. It's not that I don't want to, but it's almost like if I go there and there's a bunch of problems, I'm going to like have to add that to my cognitive load. And what I mean by problems is like, even if people are just asking a lot of questions, I'm going to like feel obligated to go in there and like answer them. And so I haven't. And then what is up for lemons? Oh, I quite like that. Trader Joe's right now, going back to Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's has a lemon curd right now that is, I don't really know what like a curd is, but like it's a jam. I don't know, like a spread. I don't really know like what like, why it's called curd and not like jelly or marmalade or conserve or something like that. But yeah, the last time I bought Trader Joe's lemon curd, I also bought a loaf of bread, and the loaf of bread didn't last like a day. I would just get up, like smear lemon curd on it, and then go. But then after the loaf of bread was up, I had like the jar left, and I just was like eating the thing with a spoon. And then when it got like too empty for a spoon, I think I just sat at my desk and like shoved my finger around all the crevices to get all the lemon curd out. It was, oh, oof. Needless to say, I haven't bought it again, because I think consuming an entire jar of lemon curd in like 4 days is not a good move for your digestion. I actually don't know. 10 servings at 100 calories per serving. That's only 1,000 calories by eating that jar. That's less than I thought. Am I still? Yeah, I'm still showing the wiki. I don't need to. Okay. Next question. I think the tool has already been named, but we'll get to that one in just a moment. So like I said, there was some conversation about local browser testing. Postman went downhill. Insomnia went downhill. I currently use Yak. Everyone else uses Bruno. I'll take a look at Bruno. So now Frick says the question, adding a new tool to help me test the IK solver, but it will also be potentially used for making rigs in game. Should I name it the Rig Creator tool or the Bone tool? Yeah, I think Rig. Because it's larger than Bones, right? It's like, if it was just a single bone, it would make sense as Bone tool, but like it's a full rig. So maybe Rig Creator. Tiki says, will IK be implemented with backwards compatibility in mind? Yes. So you can already see that in sort of devlog. So in the devlogs that Fruks is posting, what you'll notice is that Fruks is running around in the world or moving around in the world. That's using the current IK, but Fruks is experimenting with the new IK with those sort of green debug rigs that are being set up. And that's the sort of the mentality and the structure that Fruks is going for with the IK update, is like, we're going to like basically add it as like little things to play with, like little, like, I don't want to use the word tech demo because it's more than that, but like a little tech demo. Like, here's a new build of the main Resonite client with some of the IK features, but your skeleton, your movement still uses the old IK. And then the next build, it'll be like, well, here's some more IK features that you can play with. And then maybe the next build, it'll be like, okay, now your legs are using the new IK, but your arms are using the old IK. Probably not that exactly, but you know what I mean. It's going to be like slow and methodical, so that there isn't just like a instant click, okay, you're on the new IK. Instead, it's going to be like, all right, new IK is coming, guys. You know, keep having a look at it and stuff like that. Going back to the Bone tool, the Rig Creator tool for a little bit. back when I was doing VR surgical planning, we ended up with like a bunch of slicer materials. The slicer material is the one that lets you sort of slice through like an object to see the inside. We ended up with like, I don't know, 4 or 5 slices all lined up and overlapping to sort of do the surgical visualization. And one of them was called the Bone Slicer. And it was like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I've been at it for 6 hours. And I just like, in a very squeaky voice with a voice crack, was, oh, I need the Bone Slicer. It became a meme that I needed to find the Bone Slicer. So every interaction with the Bone Slicer was like giggly. It's a shame that tooling never went anywhere. Like, no hard feelings to the research like place, but there was an unclear way to get it funded, and so I couldn't personally work on it anymore, because there was like no funding initiative. It was like, hey, do you want to work 6 hours for free? And I'm like, if you like even thrown $100 my way, I would have, but not for Double Sticks. You need to take a break. Wait, it isn't a race. Just take a break. If you don't take a break, there you go. I also always confuse you, Double Sticks. I don't know if there's like another Double Sticks that I'm thinking of. Like, which Double Sticks are you? You're doing great work. I just don't remember which one you are, or like if there are two. It's confusing. Snap asks, what's your take on Resonite is too hot? I agree, but usually people who are saying that, they have like the wrong expectations about using Resonite. I say this a lot. I noticed that a couple of community members were saying it a lot on socials as well. You need to like slow down, right? So your first Resonite session, don't open an inspector. Don't equip a tool. Treat it like VR chat. And maybe the like too hard starts to not go away, because there are aspects of Resonite where there's like a high learning curve, but they become less important because you aren't rushing into it. It's your choice to open up an inspector. So, you know, just slow down. Frick has posted some videos here that talk about the IK rollout and how it's worked. I'm trying to work out if like I'm like just misremembering stuff, but there was a double sticks that it might have been that name, but I met at BLFC, the only BLFC I went to, 2020. I don't remember which one I was at. I also met like a lot of people there, so I'm very confused. I seem to always confuse you with Tiki was there, just a new profile. Okay, cool. I'm still confused. Like, I'm trying to like swear there were two. I'm so confused. Anyway, so yeah, Frick has posted some videos here. What are our goals for the new IK system? How will the new IK roll out? Beautiful. So take a look at those. I don't see any additional questions. Not to say that I don't want them, but let's head over to the tech tree. Welcome to the tech tree. So what I need to do is I need to update IK, because I know that that is on here, but I don't know where it is. New IK, there it is. I don't know why I moved it away from where it needed to go, but here it is. And we can also put in its name, which I'm going to type, like, not pose. I'm going to type regularly and then put in, not green, blue. Oh, no, not like that. That's horrible. And then I need to move Discord over to another monitor so I can keep an eye on you guys. Okay, is there anything else that we need? I want to like optimize this, because if I move these up, move this down a little bit, then I can take the look at that. Isn't that much better? I never updated all of the like pictures I should do. All right, might as well put double sticks is here, right? Let me in. Oh, center, Android. Double sticks. I need to dash that, because it's not like guaranteed to be our renderer, but it's just an example. And then I need another example. Another example to do. There we go. I'll also put in renderite.candidates. That might be a better way to handle it. Troll? No, I just want to make it longer. I don't want to make it wider. Eh? So why can't I make that one? Whatever, that'll do for now. I'll tidy it up after this. I just want to put like one of the... I could just do... There we go. I'm a graphics design icon. All right, any questions based on this? Or am I just going to navigate around aimlessly? Oh yeah, I need to put in... Feather is licking their butt on my chest. That's great. Sorry. Turns out that's what I'm doing. Because it turns out that this was very easy to do. I just needed to like find some time to... I do have time there. Questions, comments, stuff that you don't see on the tech tree that you want to be on the tech tree. Oh, you know what we need? Go in? Yeah. What I would basically do is, like, I didn't want it to be just your renderer there, because it looks like favoritism. So I will put other candidates there from the candidate repo. But I wanted to add in here Steam Frame. And I'm even going to make that one just a little bit bigger. Oh, yeah, we need to... I haven't heard about this one. I don't know if Frooks is, but like we have a news facet that sort of came off the back of this. So I'll do like a partially, but this is gonna go on. Oh, look at that! Look at that! That's crazy. And that is this bean and this bean. Oh, look! I had it there. I just didn't. Whatever. I'm gonna rename this to Tutorial World. And that is this bean. This bean, like probably everyone, to be honest, but like for now, let's just chuck him up. Quali actually has a question, which is great. Looks like it's in progress. Any thoughts on how low motion mode might be implemented? Yes, we actually have a full plan for low motion mode. It's just the moment I was going to start on that, the business obelisk like landed and it went, hello, children. I am the business obelisk. Pay attention to me. So I never got around to it. But the way that that's going to work is that we'll have a component. I don't want to do naming. Like, naming is always difficult until you start writing the code. But, like, low motion tagger or whatever. It's like a tagging component. And when you add that to a slot, if low motion mode is on, anything below that slot and including that slot won't render. So a perfect example here is, let's say you've got a teleporter that transfers you between worlds with a very high motion animation. Can't imagine who would have that. You would put that component sort of on the teleporter's like bubble. And if people turned on low motion mode, it just wouldn't render. Now, why are we doing it like that? The reason we're doing it like that is because it doesn't expose the state of the low motion Boolean to world creators, but it still has the materialistic effect of removing that content. It does require like pre-thought out ahead of like design and construction of the world. You need to make sure that all of your high motion elements are within like their own hierarchy so that they can be targeted by that. But like it is the best way to do it without leaking, hey guys, I have low motion mode turned on, please flashbang me. If that detail isn't apparent on the low motion like GitHub issue, let me know. I'll type it up. I know it's been like forever since I worked on it though. Not exposing the Boolean is purely for like abuse. So if we expose it in a way that other people can pick it up, they can single out and target people who have it enabled. Whereas there would be like, there's no going to be no discernible difference in slot hierarchy between someone who has it on and someone who has it off. Oh, this is done. We were completely able to disable the moderation thing. Again, this one, I can't do it. Is it like a setting? So Qualia says, kind of cagey about deny access to this functionality because it could be of use, measures being a kind of security theater. Like, I could imagine a circumvention for not exposing this since we can already take images of local views of a user in a session. Like, a lot of our security is, like, strange or, like, weird, but, like, the alternatives are, like, hey, I made a gun that loads the cloud variable setting, whatever it is, that shows that you have low motion mode enabled, so I'm going to spam you with a bunch of high motion. Goldie Raccoonie says, what are you using to edit the Excalidraw without a website? Obsidian, with the Excalidraw plugin in Obsidian. The reason I'm using it in Obsidian is because it provides like a file hierarchy for my Excalidraw drawings, and it keeps them locally as a .excalidraw file, which is within my Obsidian vault, which is automatically backed up to like OneDrive, Google Drive, and I think Dropbox all at the same time, just because like I signed into all of them and they straddle the folder. It's really good, but I gave some feedback to the author that I can't stand how small these panels are. So there's a panel up here, which is sort of like how to draw shapes. There's a panel over here on the right. This is custom to Excalidraw's the plugin. And I don't really know like what they do, but there's also like other stuff here. You can do like a bunch of stuff, but I never use them because they're so small. And then again, here on the bottom left, when you select, like this is too small as well. And that's why I keep making mistakes on it. And so what I'm doing now is I'm looking into the source code of the plugin and figuring out like, make bigger, just make bigger. I want make bigger up here, make bigger over there, and make bigger down here. This is a 1440p monitor. It's incredibly old. But that is something to do with it. The fix that was suggested when I went to the Discord of this plugin was, oh, you could like edit this random setting and it'll make everything bigger. And I'm like, no, all that does is zoom me in. I don't want to zoom in. I want this to be like bigger, like UI scale big. And they didn't seem to understand. And so I very politely stopped talking about it. I honestly forget. So I'll probably just look at the source code, see what I can do. If I can't figure it out, I'll make a GitHub issue for it rather than a Discord conversation. Qualia says, any thoughts on adding local logging of low motion status to provide an audit trail in the event of abuse? No. There are too many like locations where that could show up. So give you an example, let's say a low motion user witnesses a bug, not to do with low motion mode or high motion or anything like that. And let's say a protofux bug or whatever. They submit their log file to a GitHub issue, and then an abuser reads that log file and it says like, yo, this user's got low motion mode. It is a tricky problem, but the way I look at it with low motion mode is like, it's a start. Like, we could do additional things. I don't know what they would be, but we could do additional things for the community at a later date. So we have to operate within a sort of progressive enhancement in that area. Another good example there would be like all the like weird random privacy stuff we added that we didn't need to, but we did. So the setting that prevents you from appearing in photos that are taken from the Resonite camera, is that foolproof? No, you could screenshot it using an external to Resonite screenshotting application. And even if we were to protect against that, someone could just snap a photo of the literal screen using their phone or whatever. But I would still just rather have that setting as an option than not. So again, that's the same thing. That also works with the, I haven't heard anyone talk about this recently, but like there's an option, so I forget where he put it, which will strip EXIF data when you import a photo, which is like, great. That's really cool. Like, say you take a photo of your dog on your camera and then you just blindly import it into Resonite. That photo probably has your exact GPS coordinates of said dog on it in the EXIF data. So stripping the EXIF data out before handing it around to random people on the internet, that's a good idea. What we haven't done is close the other side of that, which is it should be easy to write EXIF data as well. And when we can write EXIF data, it means that we could write like camera information such as positioning, the people involved in the photo, which we already do to like components around like the camera system, but we don't do to like the literal photo. And we could do that. That also might help with like photogrammetry and stuff. I know some photogrammetry things can look at the EXIF data to get more information about sort of the orientation of the camera, which sometimes, whoa, splitting's kind of done now. Click. This is Double Six asks, in this tech tree where I replace Unity, do we get space sites finally? I don't know. Because somewhere over here or also over here along with like DSP and the renderer project is like custom shaders. I think I added it, but I don't know where it is. Gordy Crooney says, is it even possible to get user playtime metrics? Like, does that information exist in some form other than in Steam? It sure does. I found out like the other day that it does. This stuff's like difficult to talk about because some people can get like offended privacy wise, but I'm going to just go ahead and do it. Yeah, so to give me a second, I got to change up some. So I got to do them for both the recording and the Discord now. So that's what. All right. So welcome to a little tool called Application Insight. This is a test instance, as you can see at the top here, by AI test. So it contains no actual. But this is what I've been working on, and this is what I mean by like business metrics. So if we go to requests here, we can run this, and we have to expand this to last 24 hours. What you'll see here is me testing. This is account.resonite, account manage subscribe. So we already collect this data live. I've just made changes to it, which I talked about in devlog. As you can see here, this is me requesting identity account manage subscription. And then if we scroll down further, we can see here, this is me like getting my inventory, my storage, something about my groups. This is me hosting a session. Every time you see health check, it's Visual Studio going like, I've just started your web server. Let me check if it's running. But the unique part here, and the bit I'm kind of proud of, is that if I move this column all the way to the top there, what you'll see here is that if it's an authenticator request, as in if there's a user attached to it, rather than it being any user that we can discern, it just gives a what's called a pseudo anonymous identifier. So this is completely garbage. There is no other database table on our like data platform that can tell you who this user is. I know it's me, but at scale, you won't be able to figure out who. But this being here is what lets us sort of go to this tab over here called users. And it lets us see like how many users interacted with our API. 3. And again, this is a test. But beyond that, because I've started instrumenting it, we can also go down here and see what did they do? How many users set their avatar? One user has set their avatar by test instance. So then we can go to something like flows and we can see what happens before and after time range, 15 days, a custom. What happens before and after people set their avatar? So before and after they set their avatar, they logged in automatically a lot. I can also do like 9 steps. It's like, okay, so they logged in regularly. This is username and password. This is session token. And we can see where that's going. This doesn't make sense for like one user, but it will totally make sense when we have like a bunch. It'll make, click help here. It'll probably show us. Yeah. So it gives us stuff like this. It's like, okay, this person started, they went to this and then they did this, or like, oh, loads of people go to the homepage. That's cool. But what about non-homepage and all sorts of stuff like that? We can also do funnels. Funnels are cool. So it says like, hey, the top step is a regular login. The second step is an automatic login. The third step is a visit to the tutorial. And then the last set is a favorite avatar. So this will say in the last 24 hours, let's do 7 days again. In the last 7 days, two people logged in normally and then everything else like screwed up. And again, this doesn't make sense until you've got large amounts of data. But again, here they've got like funnels. Here we go. So it's like, hey, this says 6,000 people visited the homepage, but only 500 people visited the ticket page in this, like, looks like a support app or something, right? What we can also do here is see sessions as well. Sessions are different from users. And the way I've hooked up sessions, it will basically be how many people launch Resonate and when they launch and how long they spend. And again, we can say, hey, of these sessions, how many included a visit to the tutorial? One. There you go. Just a quick reminder for those privacy conscious again, all of this, and I mean literally all of it, because I wouldn't work on it unless I could, has that pseudo-anonymous identifier, so we can't tell who you are. We just need a unique number to know that you are different from someone else. That's all we need it for. Because otherwise, we can't do a count. Like, this user's page is just, like, distinct user authenticated ID. That's all it does. So we just need something. The other cool thing is that there are metrics here, and these metrics are identical in the way that they're structured to the metrics on metrics.resonate.com. So what I can do is I can load some of these, and it won't be all of them. We wouldn't do like retention or anything like that. But we can see like, oh, how many user logins occur over, where's the time frame? There we go, we can see how many logins occurred. So 1.5 logins occurred yesterday at 5:45 a.m. Because it was up to 5:45 a.m. apparently. Godokini says we couldn't pull playtime in hours and show it off in Resonate. You could, but we'd use a different data store for it. This application insights is like it's a data store that is designed for like events and user retention analysis. It isn't designed for like data or querying, or I mean it is designed for querying, but not the type of, like, it isn't designed for sort of transactional querying that you might have in Resonate, where you need to be like, get me the hours I played, and it says yes. This is all like business insights. We can also go to failures. Failures is cool. Oh, let's do application map. Application map is like the coolest tab. Again, we have to do last 7 days. So here you can see this is not a good UI. Here you can see, look, Skyfrost.account, so this is the account website, and the API website, they both talk to Stripe. In fact, we had 3 calls going to, remember this is a test instance, so a lot of calls go to Stripe and just don't do anything. Now, for anyone who's like, is this a Chinese IP? No, 169.254 is just Azure. So any calls that go into here, it's when the instance itself is talking to Azure itself. I don't know what this is. Oh, that's the asset system. It's also like availability, failures. It's really, really good. So we can see here like, hey, what happened? Oh, we had a Redis timeout. Let's see what happened here. We had a Resonate timeout. Look, it was an exception. Very, very useful. There you go. Aquarius says, does YDBS use anything for log management aggregation right now? Not currently. We will be using, at least for the little bit, Application Insights. The reason we went with Application Insights is because technically everything is already talking, and it's already talking to it with the equivalent data that I just showed you. But it's using an SDK from like 3 years ago, and it's not using it correctly. I won't show you because it's got like live production traffic in it, but I have another Application Insights instance that is like full with actual traffic, but it's configured really badly. So I can tell you that at about 4:30 today, so halfway through office hours, there were 2,000 failed requests. And we should figure out what's going on there. We should like, what happened? Like, why are there 3,000 fails? Some of the other problem as well is that we are treating failures incorrectly in some cases. So I'm actually looking at the live data now, and it says, hey, we tried to get a row from an Azure table, and the Azure table said, I don't have a row for that. And that's treated as a failure. So we have 1.9 million failures log that are basically like, that table row doesn't exist. So I need to go in and say like, hey, 404 to the table service isn't a failure. It just means that data doesn't exist. The world visibility issue, I think it's something to do with Redis. Again, I don't like speculating in office hours because like I need to sit there, like put on my like robe and wizard hat and consult the orb until I figure it out actually. But yeah, I think it's something to do. Freebetter says, I didn't think of it till now. You close the tech tree. It looks like Gravy is working the new component selector. Yes, I will. I will do that. Please don't say what, like what? What did I say wrong? Sad face. What did I say wrong? Am I going to go cry? I don't believe we have any additional questions, and there's nothing I really wanted to show you guys either. So if there are any additional queries, I think we'll start winding down. Cody Raccoonie says, how come? Australia is the most used relay. It's not the most used relay. It's the most used bridge. I'll show this for the benefit of the recording and the benefit of the screen share. So these are our metrics. These are all public. And once the stuff I was just talking about goes through, we'll have even more that appear here. We can go ahead and we can head to network nodes. And we have to, I don't know why it loads like this. Do like last 30 days, it'll show. For relays down here, what you can see, does that make it bigger? No, it just makes it like weirder. For relays, you can see that you can't, because when I made it bigger, it just prevented you from reading it. You can see, can I like make it big? Yeah, I can, there we go. You can see here that US West is winning currently with 9 relays. Now, when you choose a relay, you do a ping test and it figures out like, hey, is this relay the fastest one like, that I can get to ping wise, and then it'll pick that one. So the reason why USW is winning right now is probably because it's kind of evening or starting to be the evening in America. So that's why US West is. However, for bridges, the mechanism for detecting which bridge to use is which bridge responded to me faster. And so because Australia lives in the future, they usually respond faster. Hence why they end up being there. There is a GitHub issue for it. Let me find it. As I find it, it doesn't actually matter though, because the bridge, unlike the relay, it's not an active connection. It's basically a table lookup. When you connect to a bridge, you say, hi, here's where I exist. Here's how you can start an initiation to reach me. If anyone contacts you and wants to reach me, here's the process that you would go through to get to. And then when you contact the bridge to ask for a route to a particular session, it will then use that information to perform a NAP hunt. So it's sort of like a database table. You can see that there. The NL bridge that Resonite uses is determined by which compatible bridge has the newest timestamp. So if we open this in a new tab and we zoom in, we can see here the EU responded with 548. If it's a relay, we'll minimize it. So that's a relay. That's a relay. That's a bridge. Relay. That's a bridge. That's a relay. That's a bridge. So this is 548, 539 from US West. I don't know why that's so far behind. That like that's a lot. That's like eight, nine minutes behind. I'll look at that. That's a problem. Oh no, it's not. It's not. I remember why that's happening. So the Japanese bridge is responding to 38 as well. But the Australian bridge is responding with very cute, because that's okay. I've looked at this bug like 5 or 6 times. I don't need to like rediscover the bug in office hours. just read it here. A newest timestamp value from this. So for example, in this abbreviated response, Australia has 22:19:28. So this is newer. And then this is 22:19:14, which is older. So that's what's going on. This issue covers fixing it. There's more information here because it turns out that none of the bridges had NTP enabled. So I did that. Lots of people think that this is very important. It's got like a lot of thumbs up. But what I did is I have added a randomized 0 to 500 millisecond offset to the value reported on some of the nodes. So what this means is this value here, timestamp, has 500 milliseconds added or removed from it just to try and balance them out. But like Australia is still running somehow. With that, I'm going to go ahead and leave off. So I will speak to you soon. Goodbye.